We are here with Lee Pridgen with
Virginia Farm Bureau.
Virginia Farm Bureau. He's done plenty of podcasts with us, and there's some really big changes happening with the Hampton Roads area because we're a coastal city and FEMA. So today's podcast is going to be a little bit longer and a little bit different. It's pretty much a reflection of why FEMA's making these changes. We also have a couple other people here listening that may ask some questions in reference to how is it going to affect Hampton Roads. So, Lee, I asked you to be prepared. Poor thing, put you on the spot today, didn't I?
Yes, ma'am, but I am definitely prepared.
You are ready. I think insurance companies are fielding tons of these phone calls, not only about the FEMA, but, of course, you were even saying the health insurance stuff. So a lot of big changes that people need to be aware of when it comes to their finances. So I think we wanted to start to kind of give an explanation of why this is happening.
The reason it's happening in regards to the flood insurance is they passed the Insurance Reform Act of 2012. It's called the Biggert Waters Flood Insurance Reform Act. The president signed it into force in 2012. And what it's done is it's more or less made changes to the flood program for it's extended the policies for 5 years. In the past, they've made some changes or do something. And most real estate agents that have been in the business for a while have known that at certain times they have almost stopped the flood insurance. They've put it on a hiatus for 30 or 45 days where you can't even get flood insurance from the government. So they've extended it for 5 years, which is a good thing. The other side of that is they've had to make some changes to make it more solvent again. The problem with it is it's not making money. They were doing great. They were in the black until 2005. And then when Katrina hit, it's been in the red ever since then.
Right,
and
right.
As of July 31st of this year, the NFIP, which is the National Flood Insurance Program, I want to say it was right at the Treasury, is $24 billion.
So, in other words, there's just been so many claims that they've probably had to readjust this program to start saying, okay, wait a minute. First off, we can't probably cover another Katrina catastrophe in the state that FEMA's in right now because there's just the money is gone.
Correct.
So they're adjusting it to try to put those paddings back so that they can
cover. And what happened was the NFIP was started in 1968, which is the National Flood Insurance Program. The reason it was started, and most of the literature will tell you that most homeowners insurance companies exclude flood insurance. I have not found one that includes flood into their losses. So you have to buy separate flood insurance for that, and that's where the NFIP came from. What's happened with that is you have your pre-firm date, which is before 1970. And what they did was the communities got together, Norfolk, Chesapeake, or Chesapeake really wasn't around back then, and they came together, and the newer houses that were built after mid-70s were getting an elevation certificate. They were putting crawl spaces. They kind of knew the floodplains because they were doing the elevation certificates. The ones that were built before that, they were more or less grandfathered in, and they were getting what they call subsidies. So the houses that you see that are getting subsidies now that are getting help on their flood insurance are ones that are the older homes. A lot of the newer homes don't get the subsidies. The older homes do.
Mm-hmm.
So now what's happened is with this new act, they are going to more or less start taking some of the subsidies away, but it's the way they're doing it.
So is it policies, are all policies going to be affected that you're aware of? Or is it mainly the people that are going to find the biggest change in their policies are the ones that have been, you said, built prior to a certain date?
Yes, ma'am. More than 81% of the policyholders are not going to be affected,
okay.
I should say. Which is 4.48 million out of the 5.6 million, that leaves about 19% that are going to have an effect. Now, the ones that have become affected right away, I should say, are primary residents or secondary residents. They've automatically become, they're already seeing it because that started in January.
Loss of the subsidy.
Correct. Another thing that has changed is when you sell a home now. If you sell one starting now that has flood insurance and it has a subsidy, the homeowner that's purchasing the new home is not going to get that subsidy. Used to back then, and of course everybody knows, if you had flood insurance and you were selling your house, that person could more or less take over your flood insurance and keep paying the same rate that you were paying.
Right.
That's no more.
So if you, as an agent, trying to maybe help, you know, homeowners, we're looking at properties that need flood insurance. They were built prior to
mid-70s.
And maybe they're getting ready to sell it. So as an agent trying to help that person, we probably need to order an elevation certificate.
Yes, that's the major thing that when you're looking at the changes now, and that's one of the things that they go over to try to help you out, you know, to help with your reducing your premium, is make sure you get an elevation certificate. That's probably rule number one. With an elevation,
do you have a general idea what we think those cost?
They vary anywhere from probably $500 to $700 for an elevation certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of houses have had changes if they've had an older one, so it's probably good to get one. And
right.
Of course, with the new map rezoning that's coming out, everyone should have one. You know, if you're going to be in a flood zone, get an elevation certificate so you know exactly what you're looking at.
So this doesn't really affect, say, a home that's currently being built or one that's maybe only 10 or 15 years old. Those are still, the insurances aren't going to change that much.
They're going to have major changes too, because they're going to have the new rates. The way they're doing the rates is the newer homes will have no subsidies at all.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're really doing now is like auto insurance. If you get a speeding ticket for auto insurance or you get a DUI, your rate jumps up dramatically. Well, with flood insurance, the subsidies have always kind of been in place where they've helped them. They're not going to be there. So you're going to move into a flood zone. You're going to build a big house. You're not going to do the necessary things to make it cost effective. They're now going to charge you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a case-by-case basis or an area-by-area basis is how they're going to charge you now, which is a smart thing because they're trying to put back money. They're also starting to charge a 5% assessment this year to put money back into the program, which they've never done before. They're trying to make it solvent again.
So is there anything that you could kind of point to our local area? Exactly, we'll focus on the seven cities, you know, the region that you cover, the region that us as real estate agents need to be aware of when we're trying to help counsel either a buyer or a seller who is in a flood zone or is wanting to buy into a flood zone. What kinds of things will we see specifically here? And if there's any preventative or any kind of proactive things that we as agents can do or the homeowner can do?
Elevation certificate number one. That's the most important thing. Number two is your deductibles. If you have a $1,000 deductible, you can increase it to $2,500 or whatever the highest deductible is. And that's going to lower your premium because you're taking on more of the risk. When the a surveyor comes out there to do the elevation certificate, you know, a lot of times they can tell you don't have enough openings on the crawl space for the amount of square feet in the house because they correlate. You can have somebody come in and put more openings to make it more cost effective. And that's one of the major things that, you know, always can do. Number two, the cities do have grants where they try to get money from the government to help with certain houses. I know in Norfolk, for instance, they're elevating, in the process of elevating 12 houses that routinely flood, and they've actually applied for federal grants that would pay to raise 25 more houses, trying to help people out. And when we're talking about the seven cities, as I said, Virginia Beach, as there was an article in the paper, they only have about 4% of the houses have subsidized rates. Norfolk has about 18.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Norfolk is a lot older city. In 2002, in the city of Norfolk, there were 200 properties that had two or more flood claims. In the past 11 years, that has now climbed to 900.
Wow.
The past three major flood events, all within the past 10 years, the water has risen, this is in the city of Norfolk, almost as high as it did during the 1933 hurricane, which has been cited as the last century's most severe storm.
So we're actually finding more loss, though. I mean, I wonder if it's the ocean is rising, you know. I don't know. Is that global warming thing?
That I don't know. Somebody told me a long time ago, everything's built everywhere.
Yeah.
And water has to go somewhere.
Right.
And the more concrete and...
could be just drainage.
Yeah,
just
that happens. I've seen it, you know, here in the area locally, a neighborhood that's 15, 20, 25 years old, you can look at the road, and the road's not straight anymore, where it's crooked and, you know, where they've had growth and the roots and everything. And you have a big rainstorm, you see it on the news all the time, it starts to flood.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't flood, but it's still that water has to go somewhere.
So it seems like a big deal, but in perspective, there's not a lot of the properties that we're going to be dealing with in Virginia Beach. I mean, even though we're in a coastal city, 4% of the properties, are there going to be, is there regions, is there maps, is there identifiable areas that an agent or a homeowner can go to that say, hey, these are the hot spots that y'all should start looking at or being aware of right off the top?
The city of Chesapeake actually right now does have out their flood map that's come. There are other cities, they've not gotten them yet. FEMA's still working on them. And the subsidy-wise, the city of Virginia Beach has 4%, but you've got to remember, the AE flood zones now have the new rate. So really, everybody getting flood insurance is going to be affected.
Right.
It's going to be a lot more expensive than it used to be, regardless if they had a subsidy. Now, if you've had your house for 15 or 20 years in Virginia Beach, you've been have a subsidy on it, it's not going away as long as you own that house. You're going to keep it as of right now. That's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to change is at some point you go to sell your home, whoever is buying your home is now going to get the new rate. And that's what, when you look at it, nobody really knows how much it's going to be. It's going to depend, like you just said, it's going to depend on the area. If you're
right.
in a high-risk zone, you're going to pay more.
Right.
It's just, they're more or less, they're trying to get everything together to where you're going to have to pay for it, which makes, to me, it makes sense because you're going to have to, you want to live there, you're going to have to pay for it.
Carry your own burden.
Correct.
Well, we have two other agents with us today that were listening in, and I think they had a couple specific questions about Hampton Roads. Barbara Bowen and Amanda Hoke are here today. And Barbara, did you have something specific for Lee?
I did have one particular question.
Okay.
I have a client in Norfolk.
Okay.
Home is in a very low-lying area on the river over close to the Norfolk Yacht Club. House is flooded, I believe, 3 or 4 times. They have been approved, apparently, along with 6 or 7 other homes in that neighborhood to be raised. Apparently, they've been given a period, I believe, that goes into next year as to when that work has to be accomplished. They're also interested in selling their house. So it appears that all these new regulations, will that affect those that have already been approved by FEMA to have their houses raised?
If they're in the federal program, I'm really not sure because it's not going to affect them at this time.
Okay.
What's going to affect them is once they've had the work done, they're going to have to, of course, get a new elevation certificate.
Correct.
When they go to sell it,
how will that affect
whoever buys it? That they're going to see an increase. And I would think
so even
with the changes.
Even with the changes,
yes,
with the house being raised, it's likely to be. Would you guess that a house that's been flooded 3 or 4 times, even though it's raised, and now the elevation is improved, that there would still be significant increase to the
That I don't know, and I don't think anyone really knows until the, and of course, when you look at the information at the FEMA website, the elevation certificate is key. Once you get the elevation certificate and you punch the numbers in, because it's written, you know, everything that you need right there, it will tell you exactly what it's going to be. Just reading what has been written, I think most definitely you're going to have a rate increase. There's going to be more of a premium, but that person that's buying it can, like I said, increase their deductibles. There's a lot of things they can do to try to get it as low as possible. It's just like your regular homeowners or even your auto insurance. The more risk that a consumer puts on themselves, the lower their premium is going to be. That's why you now have the higher deductibles that you used to not have.
Well, I always recommend primarily to most anybody that moves into the Hampton Roads area to carefully evaluate and look and consult with an insurance specialist because of the fact that we are surrounded by water pretty much every area. We know that some areas are worse than others, but there are storm retention issues. There are issues where the runoff, as you were talking about earlier,
just because you're not
water comes up over the road. So just because you're physically not on water,
right?
Correct.
So there are a lot of people that live in Hampton Roads that do carry flood insurance.
And if you're not in a flood zone, you get a preferred risk policy, which they're cost effective.
Is that going to go up?
As of right now, they said no when we were looking through it. They're not going to really touch on the preferred risk policies because you're not in a flood zone. So, but they
if they can get more people to just buy into the preferred risk too. That would probably obviously keep things
solvent.
Yeah. So Amanda, did you have any questions?
Actually, that was my question about the preferred risk policies. Yeah. I was concerned about that as well.
And I think they just had a rate increase on preferred risk policies within the last year or two. They did go up. So I would think they would go up at some point, but as of right now, what I read, they said no. And out of the 19% that are affected, only 5% of the NFIP policies, they're going to see an immediate 25% increase.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the non-primary residences, your businesses, and severe loss, repetitive loss properties. You got 10% that cover the subsidized primary residence. They're going to remain subsidized. They're not going to lose it unless the property is sold. And a new thing, and this gets a lot of people, if the policy lapses, if they don't pay their premium. And it's something that a lot of homeowners need to be vigilant of. With the insurance business, we see it. Your mortgage is with SunTrust today, and in 9 months, you end up refinancing and you go to another company, and the insurance company's not made aware, or they let the homeowner's insurance company know, but not the flood insurance, and it doesn't get paid and it lapses.
That's a good tip as agents to kind of reach out to our client base who have flood insurance.
A lot of people think of it. I just had one. He sold his house in May. He didn't tell us. We didn't know. He said, "Well, I thought the mortgage company said no, they don't." And some mortgage companies, once they take over a mortgage, they will contact us. But there are some that they get behind, and it might be several months, and a renewal comes out or something like that, and it doesn't get paid. That's something that you really have to watch and be vigilant of. And there's only really 4% remaining. That's your condominiums and your non-condo family style structures. These policyholders, they're going to keep the subsidies until FEMA really develops a guideline for removal. They have not come up with that yet.
So if I understand this, if I'm listening, so the subsidies will stay in effect for some properties.
As long as
but
you
the
stay
rates
the house.
Will still increase.
Yes,
so they're still going to see an increase. It just won't be as dramatic because they still have
the
subsidy.
Because the subsidies are still in place.
But when they go to sell, the subsidy is removed, and now the new owner will be taking the full burden of the rate increase.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Any idea as to what might happen, for example, just hypothetically, since we do have a lot of oceanfront and a lot of people buying on the oceanfront or on the Chesapeake Bay, what kind of impact are they talking about rate-wise for those areas? Because that's been a difficult issue even when, without this particular change.
If you have, before, if you had the elevation certificate, it would tell you exactly what it's going to be, how much the rate's going to be. And, of course, when you read the articles, it could be anywhere from, 25% to 800%. If you're in the oceanfront, it's in a flood zone, the house is not properly, elevated for the flood, you're going to pay. It's going to be, it's going to be expensive. How expensive? It depends on the house. That's what it boils down to. It's hard to even give a hypothetical number. I was telling Allison, I had a lady call this morning. She lives in Willoughby. She's rented a house for 10 years. The house that she rented, the people that own the house, they own the house. They don't have a mortgage. They've never had flood insurance. The house is built in 51. It does have a crawl space, but there is no elevation certificate. She's thinking about buying it, wanted to know how much flood insurance is. And I was like, before this, you could do the date and get an estimate. But you need to get an elevation certificate. Once you get that, then I can be able to tell you exactly what it's going to be. But without that, nobody knows. And with flood insurance, it's really not much shopping around because not many people want to do it. If the numbers are done correctly, it should be the same price more or less across the board, no matter where you are. But I can't stress enough, the elevation certificate, that's the key. That's the key for everything.
Well, Lee, I really appreciate you coming in today. I know this is a little bit longer than what we've done in the past, but I think it's really important because it's just another thing that's going to affect people's finances. And obviously, as a homeowner and a seller, you need to be aware of what that's going to do to your price point. I mean, it could change some dynamics of the time it takes to get a home sold and whether or not you can even get insurance on it now, what that price is going to be. So I appreciate it. And Amanda and Barbara, I'm glad y'all were here today. So this was a little different.
Thank
we had a live audience.
I know.
So, anything you want to say in closing, Lee?
Just make sure with your flood insurance or any insurance, you always have your insurance reviewed. That's one of the key things. Have your insurance reviewed every year, every 2 years. because rates are always changing. And it's something you can, of course, Virginia Farm Bureau does a free insurance review. We can review it, look at it, and try to save you money or as much money as we can. And deductibles are one of the top things that you can do. You can adjust your deductibles, take on more of the risk, and then your premium is less.
Well, and that's why I like you, Lee, because you're personal, and I can text you, I can call you, I can Facebook you, I can video you. You're always there.
Anytime.
All right, well, thank you. If you guys have any questions, in the show notes will be Lee's contact. He'd be more than happy to do a review for you, pick up a policy, or just kind of help, like you said, do a review and make sure that you're paying the right premium if you want to change your deductibles or move stuff around.
Correct.